This week, Arizona State offensive lineman Edward Chip Serafin became the first active openly gay football player at a Division I school. Serafin's announcement happened to coincide with Gay Games 9 in Cleveland. The games were formed to promote acceptance of gay athletes. Now that that acceptance is growing, reporter Afee Scruggs asks what's next for the quadrennial competition.
Sid Ziegler has seen his share of gay games. Sydney in 2002, Chicago in 2006. He covers gay athletics on his site, outsports.com. He says that few games have made a stronger statement than this week's Gay Games 9 in Cleveland.
Walking around here in Northeast Ohio and seeing the rainbow flags everywhere, talking to the police and business owners and just strangers on the street, they are incredibly welcoming. And this is still a state that is, at the end of the day, discriminatory against us.
That's the impact Dr. Tom Waddell envisioned when he founded the Gay Games back in 1981. He wanted the games to change minds about gay athletes in particular and gay people in general. But with more athletes coming out, will future gay games be about competition and less about making a statement? Raymond Moore thinks so. He traveled from Los Angeles for badminton, not politics.
We're not here to say, hey, we're out and proud, even though we are, but that's not why we're here. I'm here just because we want to play the game amongst different competitors across the country and just to meet people from other countries that are actually came here to play.
The games have helped open the closet for high-profile professional athletes. The NFL's Michael Sam came out in May. WNBA player Brittany Griner came out last year. So did the NBA's Jason Collins. And this week, Arizona State offensive lineman Chip Serafin became the first active Division I college football player to come out. Again, Raymond Moore.
As a society, we've grown so much, and now we have so much more acceptance of gays and African Americans, and you know, I think just in general, because we're such a diverse culture now in the United States, I think being gay isn't, you don't have to be a statement anymore, because nobody's beating you down on the street.
In the United States, yes. But international athletes have to be vigilant. Aliessa came from Moscow to play badminton in Cleveland. She couldn't tell her family the real name of the game she's attending. That's why she asked only her first name.
To us, just the word gay is extremely unacceptable. People don't even have a neutral attitude when they hear that word.
52 countries were represented at the games. Because of hostilities at home, organizers guard against accidentally outing people, says Kurt Dahl. He's the co-president of the National Federation of Gay Games.
And we give them the option where they don't even want their name or their picture shown because they're afraid of what will happen when they go back home.
Sid Ziegler again.
While we look at Europe as incredibly inclusive, a lot of their sports are behind our sports. European soccer is desperately racist and homophobic.
Ziegler said Paris organizers wanted the 2018 games there because they could change attitudes.
They feel that there is a lot of work still to be done, even in places like Paris. So they believe the cultural impact and political impact in sports and politics that we can have there as a group can be very powerful.
Ironically, growing acceptance of gay athletes in the United States has made the games a victim of its own success. Organizers are having problems recruiting young people.
The youth don't know the history of what the gay games have gone through, what we've accomplished over the last 30-plus years, so they don't understand what the gay games are, and that's what we need to focus on.
Dahl said the Federation will spend the next 4 years helping local sports clubs recruit younger members. For Only a Game, I'm Afee Scruggs in Cleveland.